They are spiritual acts will define how they're supposed to live in terms of leadership, impact, positions, and status. However, I was saying in the morning, and I also touched a little bit about it to the youths yesterday, spirituality, it is in twofold. John said, I wish that your soul prospers. All right? He says, that you may be in good health as your soul prospers. All right? He says, in all things, and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I pray that you may prosper in all things. And be in health, just as your soul prospers. If you look at this scripture, we see that God created you in tripartite. So you are in tripartite of a man. We have a soul, a body, and a spirit. Somebody say, I have a body. A soul.
A soul.
I have a spirit. Okay. Having said this, it is quite important to share that this teaching is going to make you understand where there's been a problem financially, why the enemy stops you to have money. We spoke this topic before in the Genesis, but I want you to understand this very well. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, all right? When the Spirit of God comes upon you, I was saying he does two things. Number one, he does what he call charisma or charismata. Now, or charis. Charismata. Charisma. It is when the Holy Spirit manifests himself on a believer, to make a believer have two things. One, to manifest the spiritual fruit, which is the fruit of the Spirit is love, endurance, patience, loving kindness, all the fruit of the Spirit. So you find yourself, you have this type of love, you are kind, you know, you are long-suffering, you are, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit, you manifest them because the Spirit of God is in you, enabling you to do so. Two, on charismata, we deal with the gifts of the Spirit, which God gives upon you. This could be the gift of prophecy. This could be speaking in tongues, interpretation. This could be wisdom. The spiritual wisdom, not the other wisdom I'm going to talk about. This could be the gift of giving, the gift of teaching. In Romans chapter 12, you will see other gifts. From verse 4, 5, 6, 7, you find other gifts which are beyond the ones mentioned in 1 Corinthians. So you're going to find further gifts, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of encouragement, all these things that you do, all right? All the spiritual gifts that you do. You pray, you fast. These things are being done because the Spirit of God is manifesting in charismata, in charisma. Somebody say charisma.
Charisma.
This charisma, it is the manifestation of the Spirit through who you are. Faith is charisma. Fasting is charisma. The loving of God is charisma. What is making you to worship, to fear God is charisma. It has nothing to do with your finances. I have to say this today again. This is why you can go to heaven without money properly. However, the Holy Spirit does not only do the part of prayer, fasting, You know, fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, he does beyond that. We see again and again in the scripture, the Holy Spirit manifesting in Hokima. When we speak of Hokima, it simply means skill or talent. Okay? Hokima, it is skill or talent. So the Holy Spirit can manifest in gifts and fruits. Hokima, this is skill. And this skill, it is not a skill to pray. This is when the Spirit of God upon a believer begins to make that believer become somebody in a life. So the Holy Spirit has given you a prophecy on charismata that you are a woman of God. He will not just live there. He has to empower you with a skill. I'm talking to somebody, right? Failure to pray and bless that leads to total collapse. There are people with their gifts, with their fruit of the Spirit, who have either collapsed financially or in leadership because they did not embrace that the Spirit of God manifests in twofold, in charismata or charisma, and as well in hokima. When the Spirit of God is manifesting in charismata, he gives you spiritual gifts. These gifts and fruit, scripture says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now we're going to go into that scripture just a moment. All right? But when we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because you may be watching me now, all right? You may be watching me now, and you may not know that how the Spirit of God works in you. When we speak of the gifts of God, okay, tongues, all right? So you may be speaking tongues right now, faith, all right? Righteousness. The Bible says righteousness is the gift of God. You should know that. So when you are looking for to be righteous, to be holy, this is the gift. Faith is a gift. Tongues is a gift. So whatsoever you are doing right now, you're operating under charismata. What we are doing in this church right now is charismata, charisma. When you are home, when you have this fear of God, is charisma, charismata. The Spirit of God has got gifts. And when these gifts are manifesting, they are manifesting in the charisma. So the reason why you're watching me right now, it's charisma. You cannot have faith without understanding how this faith operates. However, the same Spirit can manifest in hokima, in skill. When you read the scripture, the Bible says, and Samuel anointed who? David. Samuel anointed who? King Saul. In 1 Samuel 10 verse 1, the Bible says, and he poured the oil upon the, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. Oil is a symbol of the Spirit of God. But he's not pouring this Spirit on his head for prayer, for fasting, for fearing God. No. No, that is charismata. But he's pouring this oil upon his head for leadership, for him to be on top of others. So the Spirit of God can come upon you on a specific mission to make you become on top of others, to lead, to have a skill, to do business, to do projects. However, it becomes nice when the charismata manifestation is also there. That's why James said, you ask and you don't have, because you ask to spend it on your own ways. Because you do not have the fruit of the Spirit. So when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you cannot have something from God and spend it in a way of pride, in a way of disobeying God. No, it can't. Because the Hokima has found charismata. Are you here, somebody? Somebody say, I'm here. So the fruit of the Spirit. Are you there?
Yes.
Say the fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit
is helping you, assisting you. In Galatians 5 verse 22, maybe let's find out the fruit of the Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law.
Is there any word, the fruit of the Spirit, is there any word money mentioned?
No.
Is there any word understanding mentioned?
No.
Knowledge mentioned?
No.
Exactly, because this is another manifestation of the Spirit of charismata. This manifestation has nothing to do with a work, a job. Now we have got believers who have charismata, and they think by their charismata they'll have a job. They think by their charismata they'll have a breakthrough. No. It is not your peace, your long-suffering, your patience, your giving, whatsoever you do that will call money to come or your breakthrough to come. It's not. It is a whole different manifestation of the Spirit, known as Hokima or Chokima. This manifestation, the Spirit of God manifests in a different way, where He, the Spirit of God, gives you things like understanding. So here on Hokima, you have things like understanding. You have things like what? Knowledge. You have things like what? Wisdom. You have things like what? Skills. You have things like what? Management. You have things like what? Planning. You have things like what? Leadership. You have things like what? All right. Skill, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, management, planning, leadership, skill. You have things like what? Workmanship. These are missing in so many believers. What so many believers have is speaking in tongues, praying, we are in church, we are doing this, yet the Spirit of God does not only manifest in one way of charismata. He also manifests in what? Hokima. Hokima, it's the ability that makes a believer escape from their trouble. You understand? Very important word that we have to add here. Okay? Hokima, skill, strategies. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, now when you read the Bible, you see, let's look at people in the Bible. We want to read the scriptures, but we're going to look at them together because we're about to make some prayers at the gate. I'm going to show you a very important aspect on the gates. Now, let's look at this because we have a problem here. We have people who pray, who think that their breakthrough should come because of their prayer. No. Let's look at people in the Bible who had charismata, and let us also see people in the Bible who had what? Hokima. And let's look at people in the Bible who had both. So in the Bible, we see men who had just purely It was just about charismata. We see men like Peter. That's why people make mistakes. Well, when you read the Bible of Peter, and then you read his story that, oh, he was doing this, was doing. So people look at the life of Peter and they make up a conclusion to say this is how the Holy Spirit operates. He does not operate in one way. Twofold. So Peter operated in charismata. Let's look at other people in the Bible. Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul operated in both. Scripture says what? That apart from being an apostle who could heal, who could preach, who could deliver people, raise the dead, he also had a business of making tents. He was a tent maker. He had an understanding. He had wisdom. He had skill. So he was skillful. The Spirit of God gave him ability. We're going to talk even more on this one. I just want to give you a very light and simple example. In the book of Acts 18, verse 3. Right? So because
he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers.
So now, imagine this. Apostle Paul, he's there. He has a skill. And he was in business. And he had business partners with Aquila. He was in business. And the man was doing business. He was doing very well. And Priscilla. Now, imagine that he would speak in tongues. He would pray in tongues. He would raise the dead. And then the Holy Ghost will manifest in a different way. And the man will make money on the markets. Someone say, receive.
I receive.
So we have people right now who all they know about the Holy Spirit is tongues. That's why people out there laugh at the church. They think we're crazy. This is why the devil knows that I can touch these people anytime I want. Because he knows you don't know. So the manifestation of the Spirit can be on charismata or hokima. I gave an example of Exodus 31 verse 1 to 2. Let's say to 4. Can you read it? Now Moses is looking for money. Moses is looking for skill. Moses is looking for leadership. Moses, God says you build the ark. But he does not even know how to do it. But the scripture says, don't worry. I will anoint some members in your congregation.
Yes, sir.
I will put my spirit on them.
Yes, sir.
And the spirit will manifest in Hokima.
And I have filled.
All right.
And I have filled with him the spirit of
God.
Can
you start from verse 1 as we said?
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God.
I have done what?
I have filled him with the Spirit of God.
Okay, so this spirit is filled for what? Is it for prayer? Mm-mm. Is it for fasting?
Mm-mm.
What is the primary purpose of this spirit poured upon him? Let's just read it.
In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship.
Is that hokima or charismata?
Hokima.
Go ahead.
To design artistic work. To work in gold, in silver,
so simple.
In
now,
bronze.
Can you imagine? Have you ever thought that the Holy Spirit can actually fill you to become a designer? Nobody thinks about it. All you think is with the anointing, God will fill you just to cast demons out or to pray nice. The Spirit of God can fill you to be a designer. The Bible says, I have put my spirit for him to be a designer. Look there. To be what? to be a designer.
In
Can you go
jewels.
Verse 4, please? It says, and I filled him, okay?
To design artistic works.
Artistic work? To work in what?
In gold.
Have
in
you
silver,
ever thought
bronze.
About it? To say there are people who can enter into God business, into mining, because God's spirit has come upon them. Imagine there are people who are doing it without God's spirit. Imagine you comes into the market, not because it's your wish, but because you have been anointed, the power of God has come upon you to venture into God. How much money can you make? But we don't know. This is where the problem is. So we have people who don't even know that God wants you to steward his resources. God says, I have put my spirit for this man to be a designer, to be in God. This man was designed, he was filled with the spirit to be good in everything that brings in money. In God, it says also in silver.
In bronze.
In bronze. Can you imagine?
In cutting jewels for setting.
I said this.
In carving wood.
In jewel.
And to
you talk of Rolex.
Of
you talk of Rolex. You talk of any type of watch. The man was into the business. You talk of whatsoever you are talking about, whether you're talking about necklace, whether you're talking about what?
Earrings.
The man was so good, not because he wanted, but the Spirit of God came upon him. May the anointing of God come upon you in this manner. May the Spirit of God come upon you in this manner. Where he comes upon you for you to make money. Can you imagine, it's like he only comes upon you just to pray and feel nice. And to like, oh, this is sin. This is righteous. That's the only thing you know. That is charismata. We needed that as a foundation. Then we need now Hokima. Where now is beyond just prayer. It is leadership. It is strategy. How would you do it? How would you take over? How would you move? You have a plan over you in front of you. How would you execute it? Imagine just to say, we prayed, Papa, we prayed. Ah, we are afraid. Ah, your God, my Father, who answers. Hey, he's not just going to answer you. We need a strategy now. We need wisdom now. Am I talking to you? Oh, yeah. So God can give you a particular wisdom. Like he did with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were working in the palace. And they were presidential advisors. On issues of economy, on issues of management, on issues of planning. And the scripture says, in verse 20 of Daniel 1, scripture says,
and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm.
How many times?
10 times better.
10 times better. Imagine that. 10 times better. Imagine you have got accountants, planners, people in town who do business. You are 10 times better than them. In God, how you understand God business, you are 10 times better. How you understand Joel, you are 10 times better. How you understand supply, you are 10 times better. How you understand whatsoever field you want to do, you are 10 times better. Because this is not you thinking. This is the Spirit of God manifesting like a Hokima. When you execute a plan, it never fails. The reason why most of you fail is because you are trying to squeeze charismata into business. These two are different. You're trying to squeeze prayer into business. It's different. Here we need divine insight. Am I talking to you? We need what?
Divine insight.
We need divine strategy. We need execution, planning, management. We need leadership. An anointing. Not just say, I did this at school. I know how I do it. We'll see this in the teaching of today. When I'm teaching, you understand what I'm talking about. Because we have got people who actually want to use their wisdom, their understanding, and then they think it will happen. No, this is when you sleep at night. An idea comes. This is when you are driving on the road. An idea comes to say, I'm going to do it in this way, in that way, in this way. And then there's an understanding, there's planning, there's management. This is not by you thinking. This is by the Spirit of God enabling you, empowering you. May you become 10 times better. Do you think, listen, let me ask you a question. Do you really think Joseph in Egypt was using prayer to run the country? Joseph in Egypt. Do you think he was using prayer to run the country? No, there was wisdom. Are you understanding? There was what?
Wisdom.
There was strategy. There was planning. If there are things you need to start praying for right now, because there's so much humanism where you pray and you're in charismata, then you begin to think, you know what? I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to borrow money. I'm going to do it this way. Listen, sometimes how God can give you an idea can shock you. Am I talking to you?
Oh, yes.
Can what? Can shock you. It can shock you. The whole scripture, if you read it, people were not defeating enemies just by prayer. There was strategy. Am I talking to you? There was what?
Strategy.
It's not just, I'm praying. Papa, we are praying. Ah, we are believing your God. We are believing your God. I'm telling you, years will be going and you remain the same. When a year of plenty. You need a miracle before December. You are received, it's not louder and convincing. Somebody said, I need a miracle before December. Say, oh Lord, answer my prayer now. Say in the name of Jesus. Say in the name of Jesus. In Genesis 41, from verse 33, we'll read a few verses and I'll tell you where to stop.
Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man.
Did you hear that? Who is he looking for? The king of Egypt was looking for who?
A discerning and a wise man.
And a wise man. Not somebody who's just praying, speaking tongues. No. Speaking tongues is for our spirit. But then in our spirit, we need our spirit to be hosted. And we can't host our calling and our gifts on a lack. We can't host who we are on a suffering. We can't. This is where the same spirit manifests in wisdom, manifests in understanding. He manifests in excellency. He manifests in planning, in strategy. You will have an idea. I'm saying this to you and I'm prophesying to you. An idea will come.
Yes.
And I see you making millions.
Jesus' name. Powerful.
I see some of you have already an idea, but it's not moving. I am seeing God changing your strategy. Oh my God. Someone say, I am changing my strategy. A new planning is coming. Now, are you here, right?
Oh, yes.
That you have understood. Now, let's go ahead now. That you have heard this. So God gives people skill, leadership, knowledge. Okay. If the devil wants to attack you at your gate, most of you think it's a spiritual attack. You think he's attacking your spirit. No. He simply comes and attacks your strategy. He will simply come and attack your leadership. That's why so many leaders, whether in church or wherever, they'll face resistance. That's where the enemy will just come and attack your skill. There are people who play soccer more than Ronaldo. But they're nowhere. Trust me, if you watch them play soccer, they're in the villages. If you watch them play soccer, you'll be shocked. Like, ah. What a skill. But they end like that. I'm telling you. As I'm talking now, they're growing old. And some of their legs are broken. And these people, the Ronaldos, whosoever, they play soccer every day and their bones are too strong. Because the enemy can just attack your skill. Am I speaking to somebody?
Yes.
Your skill can be under attack. Because the devil knows that that is your gate. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
He knows it's your what? Your financial gate. So there are people who their skill is attacked. Their management. You see how they manage things. You can even shoot. So what was he thinking? They have got a business, but management is very poor. You know why? Because the devil knows to say this is the area the Lord can empower this person to good management. When we are praying as adults in the spirit, these are areas we pray for. Now, so when we are talking of this financial gate, this gate, as we said, the meaning of a gate in the spirit is very simple. It means what? Entry what? Entry point. It also means what? Access what? Point. A gate is a place of authority. When I drive a car to a gate, it's either I will be authorized because someone here, he has authority to make me go in or not. As I go, it's either I have been allowed access or I can be denied what? Access. It's either I have entered or not. So when we are speaking of financial gates, simply get this point. This is a place where you can have access to your finances or you can be denied access. However, there is an authority that will allow you to have finances, or there's an authority that is not allowing you to have finances. There is an access, or you are denied access. Again, there is an entry point. It could be a business. It could be what? A job. It could be promotion. This can be your gates to have access because of the authority given on that gate. Now, what we want to understand here very well is on this gate, there are only two things that are very active. It's either lack or provision, or known as breakthrough. Tonight, so many people break through. No, I'm not talking. I have prophesied. So many people tonight will what? They will break through. We are not talking about charismata. We're talking about what? Hokima. So if you look at scripture, now let's look at it. All right. It says, now therefore,
let Pharaoh select a discerning and a wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. And let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the art device was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in the garment of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck.
Hear this. On the financial gate,
very powerful.
It's not a place where we just talk about like, oh, there's a financial gate. Listen to me. Financial gate, it is a battlefield. You will be allowed your breakthrough to happen or not. As I'm talking to you right now, there are people who their money will begin to be released tonight. And there are people who their money, it will never be released, but they don't even understand what we're talking about. There is a gate. Why? Every time you work so hard and you can't find the money. Why some of you can't even get a job? Why some of you, even if you're working, you can't even be promoted? Why some of you, your businesses, they're always shut? Why some of you, nothing is moving? Because there is an authority at your gate. At this stage, it's either you have an authority over there or there is somebody who's controlling your gates. Say with me, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Say, every spirit standing at my financial gate, blocking my blessings, I command you out in the name of Jesus. This is not just about a gate. It is a spiritual portal where blessings are released or curses activate themselves. Financial battles, most of the times, are spiritual than just economic. Financial problems often are spiritual battles than just economic. Poverty, lack, is a spiritual attack. Are you here?
Yes.
It is what?
A spiritual attack.
It's either God is involved or Satan is involved. In the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, we see scripture saying there are people who work so hard and they do not want, they wonder why, no matter how hard they work, their money goes in the pockets, but their pockets, they are holes. Am I talking to you? He says, can't you ask yourself a question, why? He says what?
You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with the drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes.
You hear that? You have money. When you put in a bag, it's like in a bag there is what? There is a hole. It's like your money just goes. Somebody say it's a spiritual attack. See the following verse. What does it say?
Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Simple. It says you work so much. You do this, you do that. After you gather your money, it's like you go back to zero. It's like you have got holes in your pockets. Somebody said, I refuse to live like this. Say, my money is coming. I call my breakthrough tonight. I stand at my gate. Every demonic influence causing holes in my bank accounts, in my pockets, in my bags, in my wallets is stopped now. The spirit is stopped now. It says you wonder, you work extremely hard, but you get little. It is more of spiritual. It is a battlefield than it is in the economic sector. Somebody say, no, sometimes it's poor management. Okay, what will bring that poor management? Simple. What just make a person, he has a lot of money, all of a sudden he squanders it and it finishes. What will bring that? It's a spirit. Can you imagine you have got everything, and when some of you have got relatives, you know, they have got good jobs. But when you look at them, you're like, ah. What? Even if you give them money, you say, go and do something, they'll come back and say, I need more money. It is more spiritual than it is in the natural. This is why we must handle this issue today. Yes. Whatsoever is standing at your gate, yes, it must come out. Somebody say, every gate,
every gate
open now. Every financial gate,
every financial
where my blessings are being held, I command you to open. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verse 11.
Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night.
Okay, now let's stop there. What is God saying? What is God saying? If God is saying your doors shall open, is he saying your gates are open? He's saying what? Shall. Meaning to say these gates will open from as I'm talking to you. Meaning that all this world, how were they? Come on, I want people who are intelligent to answer this question. If God is saying your gates will open, from now as I'm talking to you, your gates will open. Does it mean your gates were open or they were closed? So who was, I'm looking for that person who was shutting it. Who is that was closing your financial gate through your business? Who is that person who was closing your gate through your job? Who is that person who was closing your gate over your payment? Somebody say, I command you, come out. Most of you are just a step away from being billionaires. But there is somebody at your gate. Simple. Most of you are just one step into a billionaire status. But there is something at the gate. My God, somebody say, I'm here, prophet. And I'm going to show you who's at the gate. Number one. There is who we call the spirit of fear. Say, the spirit of fear. How to discover this spirit? Ask yourself a simple question. What do I have that I'm afraid to confront or to take a step of faith? Most of you, there are things you are fearing to take a step of faith because you are scared. You have got this question in your mind. What if? What if it closes? What if it's a risk? Now, I know risk management is very important, but I want you to also to hear this, which is very, very important. Are you here? From 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. A prophet speaks In this moment, there was hunger. There was famine in Israel. There was no food. It reached a point where families would sit down and say, today, who are we eating? So they'll make a shift. Today, we're eating me. Then they would kill a person and eat the person. There was no food. They began to eat each other. There was inflation. There was an economic crisis. The Bible says the head of a donkey was so expensive. A head of a donkey on the market to sell for you to eat it. Am I talking to you? But the Bible says a prophet handled it at a financial gate. In verse 1, a prophet says what?
Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seer of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria.
You hear that? So God, a prophet says there is a problem, but I'm handling this problem where it is coming from. He says, by the gate of Samaria, this will happen. Why is he talking about Samaria? He says, by the gate of Samaria, this is what is going to happen. And guess what? There were four men who were sick and they were lepers. And they were dying with the hunger and the poverty. And they said, why should we die in poverty and in hunger? Let's go to the camp of the Syrian soldiers. If we die, we die. They took a step of faith. As they were walking in the step of faith towards the camp of the Syrian soldiers, the Bible says God made the soldiers in the camp. These soldiers had gold. They had silver. They were keeping a lot of properties. And when they saw those four coming, the Bible says God made the soldiers to hear a sound of the multitude, that the soldiers ran away and left the gold and left the properties. When these four lepers came, the Bible says they took the what? The gold. They took the what? It took them 3 days. The whole nation coming to pick things. To an extent that there was so much food in Israel, in Samaria. By the following day morning, what was expensive became cheap. This story tells us about faith. Somebody say faith. Imagine if they never took that step. There is somebody watching me right now. It's just one step of faith. You can be a billionaire. Ask yourself a question. Which area am I supposed to confront fear? These are steps where you don't move when God is not moving. Ask yourself that question. Which area am I scared to believe? Ask yourself a question. Do you have a project and you are scared to start it because you think what's going to happen? Can I say what will happen? A miracle is going to happen. It's a faith. Ask yourself a question. The second question that I want you to ask yourself. Are you still here? You must know this. The enemy wants you to know. He wants you to believe in the lie and the scarcity. That this is how I am and this is who I am. Imagine the four lepers believed. The whole Israel believed. However, if they took a step of faith to face the soldiers, because imagine these soldiers had put Israel under siege. The reason there was hunger is because they couldn't come out of the gate. Look at this pulpit. Imagine that this is a fence and there is a gate and this is Israel. Outside this gate, there's a camp of Syrian soldiers. And the people here are failing to come out because at the gate, they are what? You want to come out, you'll be attacked. And it only took faith of the four sick people to walk towards the soldiers and they ran away. That these men who were inside were able for the first time to come out and get what belonged to them. When who is keeping your gate is out, you will be able to go and pick what has been staying at your gate. Am I talking to somebody right here? Somebody say, I pick what is on my gate. There are things that the enemy says you will not touch them. Say, I command my gates to open. Can you imagine God even to say, and your gates shall open continually. And then God continues, so that men should bring you riches. Meaning to say, somebody is closing these gates so that no one brings you business, so that no one brings you wealth, so that nobody brings you riches. Whosoever is at your gate, I command that person to come out. Whatsoever is at your gate, I command it to come out. Someone say, I clear my gates.
I
speak clearance.
Every offer
that belongs to me, it will come through. Every destiny coming to my direction, it will not be stopped. Say, I operate in charismata.
I operate in
Hokima. Number two. At this gate, if you see the scripture, it says what? If it is not the Lord, Psalms 127 verse 1.
Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
Now imagine you're a watchman of your gate. Okay? Imagine you're what? A watchman over your gate. And the Bible says, if what you're doing, God is not involved, you're doing it in vain. That's why people who do forex, they'll be sitting there like this, making decisions when to trade. Normally, they will make mistakes. Because forex is a gate. They'll be sitting there like trying to check like what's happening. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, they'll be trying to check what's happening. Unless the Lord is watching with you, you are watching in vain. Because you need divine intelligence to know how the market will move in the next 5 minutes. You need the Issachar code to understand the times. If there's a petition right now you must start praying for from today, is that your gates must be controlled. Can you imagine the Lord is saying, and your gates shall open, your gates shall, so that men must bring things to you. Because once they are closed, that's how you'll be working so hard and seeing nothing. Because your opportunities are closed. So ask yourself a question. One, there is fear there. You're going to find fear. You did a business before it collapsed, and now the same fear will come. If God says, do another one, do another one. But if God says, do it again, don't say, I tried the whole night and I caught nothing. At your word, I will do it again. Are you here? So number two, what we sense at this gate, what we see at this gate is the ability of God, not yours. God makes doors open here. It's not you. That's why it says, if you watch, and if it's not God, you're watching in vain. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, it says, remember, it is the Lord your God.
And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth.
Somebody say, in the name of Jesus, I stand at the financial gate.
I stand at financial gates.
I proclaim.
And I proclaim.
I announce. It is the Lord.
It is the Lord.
At this gate.
At this gate.
Who gives me power.
Who gives me power.
Ability. To have wealth.
To have wealth.
At this gate. I have told you, right, that there are two ways at this gate in the beginning of the teaching a few days ago. I said it's either the devil is giving you the money or it's God. Remember?
Oh, yes.
It's either Mammon is giving you the money or it's God. Remember that word?
Yes.
The scripture says God is mine and the silver is mine. So God claims God is his. And the Satan tells Jesus, bow to me and I'll give you what? The wealth. So Satan also claims he has got money. God also has got money. You can't be in the middle. That's why Jesus said it's either Mammon or God. So you can't mix. At this gate, we stand at this gate. We speak as God's people. Much as there's evil money, there is also God money.
Amen.
Say there is holy money.
There is holy money.
So I receive holy money right now. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, let me finish it. Let me take it to another. So, number two, understand, as I said, acknowledge that the ability here, it is God. So, if you have got a business, if you have got school, if you have got a job, acknowledge, understand that your business is a gate. Understand that your job is your gate. Understand that your career is your gate. Acknowledge that my ability here is of God. Number three, which area did I obey or disobey? Which area did I obey or disobey? There are things which God may want you to do. Did you do them? At this gate, their instructions. Sometimes God may say, leave your father and your mother to a place I will show you. There, I will make you what? A great person. There, not here. Sometimes God at this gate can tell you to make a what? A move. It could be a territorial move. Or to change, to say, change this business, do this one. Or in fact, a location, to say, do it there. Did you obey or not? So ask yourself a question, because at this gate is a gate of obedience. Obedience works here. Sometimes God may say, I want you to sow a seed. Did you obey or you did not? This is a gate of obedience. I gave you my own example where I gave $3,000 and that was the only money I had. I gave $3,000 and trust you me, it was from the depth of my heart. It took 2 weeks and I told you this testimony already. I was sitting in a boardroom where we were talking about millions and I was being appointed to run Africa. And I was being given money to manage for the whole Africa in 2013. And that became a gate of my finances. So sometimes it's an area of obedience. I told you last year, there was a hunger in this country. God said, take half of all you have in the warehouse and give to the poor. Millions and millions of dollars. And when we did it, there was a blessing that came. So at this gate, ask yourself a question. Which area did I obey or disobey? We read Haggai chapter 1 from verse 6. Scripture says, you work so much and you wonder you have no money. All right? It says, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with what? In verse 7, it says what? It says, consider your ways. In verse 8, it says, because, simple.
Go up to the mountains.
This is a command. It's not a request.
And bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, simple. Says the Lord.
Simple. So at this gate, somebody is poor and is being told to say, the reason why you are poor is because you didn't obey the instruction. So I'm giving you the instruction. Build me a church. So what will happen? God says, the reason why you're not making money is because you're not obeying my instructions. So at this gate, which area did you obey? Did God say you should make a move? Did God say you should wait? Did God say go? Did he say apply and you didn't apply? Did God say open a company and you didn't open the company? Did God say give and you didn't give? At this gate, obedience becomes critical. Fear is confronted and step of faith is taken. Dependency of knowing that your ability is of God becomes the status quo. Because money can give you a rank in the spirit. Money is so spiritual. Money gives people authority. Jesus was not buried just by people who are speaking in tongues. It was a billionaire who came and took his body and buried it. The rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible calls him a wealthy man. The man had a status. The Bible says he was respected because money gave him the status. And the enemy will make sure he stops you from having the status. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 16.
Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard.
No matter how wise you are,
if you're poor,
you'll be despised. Your adverse will not be taken. I prophesy to you. Your gates will open. I said your gates will open. We need obedience.
Yes.
We need acceptance that your ability is what? Of God. Because most of you know it. But then when you want to start something, you have got fear. Because you don't know that your ability is of God. Remember, it is the Lord who gives you ability to make. It's not you. This is Hokima. God is giving you the ability. You will do it by the Spirit. Somebody say, I'm anointed for this. I don't know if you're getting it. Are you still here?
Yes.
Obedience is very important. When you check the book of Joshua, can you imagine you are being taught to move around the walls of Jericho and you should be singing and that the walls will fall? And then you really obey it. You say, all of us, let's begin to move. And this is a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are singing like this. First day, 7 times moving. Second day. Do you understand what that means? Total obedience. You will take some steps that will look so long. As long as it's obedience, you will break through. I said you will break through. Somebody say, I receive.
Obedience.
I've told you this. Obey. Some steps are steps of faith. Obey. Some don't even make sense. Just obey. I gave you an example before. I'm not a farmer. I'm not. But God said, go into farming. I obeyed. And when I was doing it, God said, leave it. Your wife must be doing it. And she's doing it, very seriously. Like she sleeps, she goes, she sleeps like this, singing the farm. She wakes up singing the farm. So obedience. So obedience. Some of you will be so shocked in heaven. You think obedience is only when you didn't pray, you didn't fast. You'll be so shocked in heaven when they'll tell you to say, I told you to start this and you didn't do it. The church is struggling because of your disobedience. If you obeyed, you would be a billionaire by now. In fact, you could have even also brought something for me. Look at you now. Useless. You are my human gate. You are my human gate. I'm not getting it because of you. So I repent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So obedience at this gate. Ask yourself those questions. What did I obey? What did I not obey? Are you still here? Last question. Which areas are my finances hidden? At this gate, money is hidden. Which areas? Imagine there was a woman. I gave you this example also before. There was a woman who came to me. She said, Papa, I'm doing property business. It's not moving. It's not moving at all. At all. I said, do you have a company of supply? She said, yes, at home. I said, go into supply. She came back a millionaire. Within a year, she came back a millionaire. She testified in church here. She came back a millionaire. She bought six houses. She bought six houses. We saw her with cars, 15 cars. Her money was hidden in a document in her own house. And she was busy chasing what? Real estate. Yet money was hidden in supply. The enemy can hide your own money in your own house. Ask yourself a question. Which areas are my finances hidden? Somebody say, open my gates. Listen to this. Let's open the scripture. Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 3.
Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut.
Can you imagine that? To open what? The double what? So that the gates. Why is God saying this? God is even saying, I'll go before you. There are gates. Trust you me. Trust you me. Once I open these gates for you tonight, the inflow of money will be so shocking. So even you are receiving shows that you don't even want to talk about. So
I command
these doors to open. And someone's like, huh? What did you say? Did I just hear you saying, if you open these doors, oh yeah. There are people in the Bible, few people in the Bible, who God said, I'm giving you the keys. So as I'm talking to you right now, so in script it says what? If you see the Bible in the book of Matthew 16:19, it says,
and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
So God can give people keys. These keys could be declarations. A declaration can become a prophetic key to open your destiny. Fasting can become what? A key. Anointing oil can become a key. Obedience can become a key. Remember what I'm telling you, right? The Bible says to open the double doors. These doors are closed. I'll go before you. They are gates. God said, I'll go before you to open them. Continue reading the scripture. It says what?
I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze.
Imagine.
Cut the bars of iron.
Can you imagine that even this gate, Satan uses bronze? And this woman will never have money. These gates we're hearing here, they are not spiritual. They are financial gates. How do we know? Continue reading it. It says what?
I will give you the treasures of darkness.
That's a story.
And hidden riches in the secret places.
Exactly, because they are hidden. They are gates. God says, when I break these gates, you will have all your hidden wealth. Ask yourself a question. Which areas am I worth hidden? Some of you, the devil has hidden your contracts, your projects. You are applying, not any tender. Some of you used to do the job. You are applying for jobs you can't get because the enemy says, you're not going to touch this money. Somebody say, I break the gates.
I break the gates.
Say louder, say, I break the gates.
I break the gates.
Some of you have got mines. You already have a land where there is money. And you can't even get the money. The enemy says, you will not get this money. As I'm speaking to you right now, you've got millions under the ground. Well, for people that have savings, I've got what? The enemy says, you will not see this money. You will not touch it. You will not. You have got projects, you've got companies, you've got what? You've got ideas. The enemy says, you will not. Scripture says what? I, the Lord, will go before you. I'll break the bars of iron of those gates, and the hidden treasures will begin to manifest. The hidden riches will begin to come. At this gate, we don't joke. This is warfare. Father, in the name of Jesus, just raise up your hands wherever you are. Says, I raise my hands.
I put a prophetic decree over my gates.
In the name of Jesus. You everlasting gates. In the area of finances. Be opened.